The following program is presented by the friends and partners of John Carmichael Ministries. Find out more online at www.johncarmichael.net. Today on Kingdom Now with John Carmichael, discover how amazing your life can be and experience the kingdom power that only comes from God. Today on Kingdom Now.
Receive this offering. Everybody got your Bibles? Hold them high up in the air. Make this declaration. Say, this is my Bible. I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. I receive the word of God with faith. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You sound amazing this morning. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to a couple of openings. One would be Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. Matthew 11, 12. I want to bring to you today a message. It's a part of a series, long series. It's part 11. The series called Unstoppable. Somebody say Unstoppable. And I will start this out as a reminder that from the day you were conceived in your mother's womb, probably before, there's been a war that has gone on against your life. There's been something that's a headwind, if you will, trying to stop you. You feel it. You can tell. Now, some people, maybe it's more evident than others. This past Friday, I celebrated with my brother as he got his PhD in electrical engineering from the University of Kentucky, and I'm so proud of him. But as we were sitting and talking about, you know, our beginning, we went out to lunch or dinner afterwards, and we were just kind of reminiscing about growing up. We grew up very impoverished, grew up in a horrible situation. I won't go into all of it. Grew up in, you know, in government housing. My dad died 2 days after my 7th birthday. He left way before then. Mom raising 6 kids. Now, all of my brothers and sisters prior to me running away from home at the age of 16. That's how bad it was. None of them stayed. They ran away. All going, doing their other things. Mom was in and out of mental institutions because of depression. On and on. I could just go on and on. I'm not here to do that. I'm just here to say it was very evident. I could look at my life, and when you see it, you know, my wife, she sits and listens. She says, it's almost unbelievable, as I listen and hear the stuff that you two went through. And yet God has helped both of us to rise up out of that, where we could have instantly been a statistic, because people don't rise up. My daughter, in her capstone paper, in writing, she got a degree from communication. She talked about communication and poverty. And that was her. And she began to study about impoverished children and what happens and what's their future. And she called me and she said, Dad, I just want you to know that from where you came from, people don't come out of that situation. They stay locked in. Now, while my situation is quite evident, and while the things that headwinds against me, others, you may say, well, man, I just feel like I'm good. Maybe, I had a great family. I had a great mom and dad. Maybe things are good, and I'm happy for you. But can I say this to you? I remember my systematic theology professor, Dr. Larry Hart, as we were discussing the theology of the goodness of God. Because God would say over and over again, I'm good. God is good. God is good. We discussed that. He said this. He said, your best day on earth is far below the good that God really intended for you to have. So whether you realize it or not, because of Satan, the enemy of God, Satan, because of the result of human treachery, sin and the curse on the earth, we have these headwinds, man. These things stacked against us. But can I tell you that because of the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, you can rise up out of every situation and every circumstance. You do not have to live your life as a victim, but God wants to raise you up and be unstoppable in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Do you believe that this morning? Man, I do. Jesus said these words. Matthew 11:12. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Now, I hesitate to even use these words based on the horrible things that have happened here in this region recently, in Texas yesterday. But he's going to use a word that's not what the devil's doing with this word, violence. I'm not talking about that type of violence. He's going to say, but violent men take it by force. He ain't talking about what these things that are happening in our country, around the world. He's not talking about this demonic violence that's happening. He's talking about a godly violence that he wants in our heart in order for us to receive from heaven. So today I want to talk to you about this. This mindset. Would you bow for a word of prayer? Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to our hearts today. God, as we deal with these subjects in this word, and as we continue to progress in learning what it is to overcome, to not be a statistic, to not be a victim all of our lives, but to be able to rise up. God, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would speak to our hearts. Help us to receive this in the manner that you would want it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want to make a statement today. You can go fast by yourself, but you can go far with others. You see, one of the issues that we see in the Bible is that God wants us to be able to accomplish things. And so I just want to tell you, I'm putting together a lot of things, a lot of sermons. You need to go back and really listen to the whole series to get where I'm at right now. But I'll try to sum it up. Jesus wants you and I to experience his kingdom on this earth today. And while I'm not sure that anybody will ever experience it in its fullness this side of heaven, I do believe that we can grow and experience more and more and more. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I do believe that's the intention of God. And so we see in this particular verse, and you'll need to listen probably last Wednesday to get a lot about this verse. I talked more about it in last Wednesday, but I want you to see that it's going to reference the fact that the kingdom of heaven this suffers violence. Probably a better translation was that it's forcefully advancing. Many of the new translations will put a note by that. The NSB puts a note by it that it's forcibly advancing. It's going forward. And we think, oh, that's really good. God's doing it. Amen. God's advancing his kingdom. That's awesome. But then the next phrase says, but violent men take it by force, or forceful, powerful, willful people grab a hold of it. And it gives us this paradox. This is all important. I'm going to hopefully stitch this together here in a moment. But the paradox is that God is doing his will and his kingdom, and it's going forward. And that's true. And that's happening because of God's will. But what's also at the very same time, in order for it to affect my life, I've got to grab hold of it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So there's two forces at once. There's God being aggressively going forward in his kingdom, but there's also the expectation that God is wanting me to be aggressive by grabbing a hold of it. Not understanding the paradox causes Christianity to be in neutral. We get passive. Well, if God just wants to do it, he'll do it. But that's not how the kingdom works. Yes, God has his sovereign will, sovereign plan going forward. Can I hear an amen? By sending his son Jesus to live on the earth, die on a cross, God raised him from the dead, set him at the right hand of God, freely poured his spirit out upon us. and said, I'm making this available for you. Despite all the opposition of the devil, God forced his will on the earth. However, in order for you to experience it in your own life, you have to grab a hold of it. You got to grab a hold of it by faith. You got to go forward. Can I hear an amen? Amen? This idea of being violent, in order for me to grab a hold of the stuff that God made available to me so that I can be unstoppable, I've got to grab a hold of it. He's not just going to force it on me. I've got to grab a hold of it. Can I hear an amen? So we talked last Wednesday about this idea of violent men take it by force. Turn, if you would, to the book of 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23 gives us a list, beginning at verse 8, gives us a list of some violent men. Now I want to note something. I think it's important. 2 Samuel chapter 23 is just as inspired of the Holy Spirit as John 3:16. Meaning that this list is given to us by the Holy Spirit with details that are important. Can I hear an amen? Now I'm going to read some of this. And again, to get the most out of this, you probably need to listen to last Wednesday's. It's online. But here's what he says. Now I'm going to read some names. Some of these names are a little bit hard to read. So I was told by a great Bible teacher, when you find a very hard Bible name, just plow right on through it. Don't worry about it, all right? So you're going to see me do some plowing today. It said, but the names of the mighty men who David had, and it gives this one, Josh Esbath-Habeth, a Tahachimonite. That's not tongues, by the way. The chief of the captains, he was called Adino and the Esnite because, listen to what he did, this guy was dangerous. He, 800 slain by him at one time. This guy knew how to fight by himself. He was a violent man for the kingdom of God. Violent man for the kingdom of God. After him was Eleazar, son of Dodo. Son of Dodo. Don't be a dodo. And Ahoite, one of the mighty men of David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there to battle, and the men of Israel had withdrawn. You see, these people, they left him. So he's fighting. Now he's going to end up fighting by himself. Everybody's withdrawn. Verse 10, it said, He arose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. Wow. Man, fighting, swinging that sword. Grab a hold of that hand, just hangs on. It freezes to that sword. And he won. But look at what it says. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. Who brought the victory?
The Lord.
But who swung the sword? Eleazar. Eleazar swinging the sword. So someone says, the Lord won the victory. And if Eleazar didn't have a healthy mindset, he would say, excuse me, I got the victory. I'm the one that swung the sword. I'm the one that kept fighting. But that's not what happened. Eleazar had a healthy mindset to understand that, yeah, sometimes you're going to be swinging the sword, but it was God who brought the victory. Can I hear an amen? He understood that. He was mighty, he was powerful, violent for the kingdom of God. Goes on to say, and the people returned after him only to strip. Have you ever had somebody that just shows up when the battle's over? Mm-hmm. It says, now after him was Shammah. And Shammah was the son of Agi, a Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. It was a bean patch. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand. I love that. He took his stand in the midst of the plot. I might say this to you today. Don't be afraid to fight for what God said is yours. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And there may be some things that God speaks to you in your life that don't look like much fighting for to other people, but they are to you. And the reason that it's worth fighting for is because of the one who gave it to you. So I'm going to say this to you today. Don't be afraid to fight for what God has spoken and said that it's yours. You need to be willing to stand. If you got to stand all by yourself, I'm going to fight for what God said is mine. Can I hear an amen? Oh, you'll be surprised how many times people will try to talk you out of fighting for what God said is yours. I've had people do it recently. Oh, now look, you just need to not worry about all that. That probably is not going to work out. That blah, blah, blah. No, God said it's mine. I'm going to fight for it. Amen? I don't care if it ain't worth nothing to you. It's worth something to me because God said it's mine. Amen? I'm not going to quit on what God said is mine. How about you? Here you got Shema getting ready to risk his life over a bean patch. Why are you risking your life over a bean patch? Because God gave me that bean patch. That's why. Amen. Can I tell you that if you're willing to fight alone for the things of God, you won't ever be alone? Because you may be standing there and everybody else fled, but if you'll look over your shoulder, you'll find that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords are standing right there. When you fight for God, you're never alone in Jesus' name. Never alone, never alone. It said that he stood there, took his stand in the midst of the plot, defended and struck the Philistines. And once again, the Lord, somebody say the Lord, brought about a great victory. These people knew how to fight alone. They knew how to fight when nobody else was with them. But they also knew something else. This is what today's message is about. They also knew how to fight as a group. They knew how to not live life as a lone ranger. They knew how to come together. Look at the next verse. Verse 13. Then these three of the 30 chief men went down and came to David at harvest time in the cave of Adullam, while the troop of the Philistines was camping in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the stronghold, while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David had a craving. David had a craving and said, "Oh, that someone would give me the drink, water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is at the gate." David must have been schooled by my mother. God bless her heart. He didn't just want any water. I got to have that water. I used to, my mom, the last year of her life, I went shopping for her every Thursday. She gave me a shopping list. She liked Hot Pockets. Anybody here like Hot Pockets? Ham and cheese Hot Pockets. But there was a particular design. I think it looked like a half a moon or something. I don't know. It's a pocket. It looks like a pocket. One day I went and they didn't have that. But they had Hot Pockets, ham and cheese, in the form of a biscuit. So I get that. I bring it in. Mama looks at it and says, "Get that out of my house." I'm like, "Mama, it's the same thing." She went, "Get that out of my house. It don't look like what I want it. Anyway, David, I don't just want any water. I got to have that water. Now, somebody probably can find some spiritual reason why it has to be that water. But he wanted that water. So what happens? Verse 16. So these three mighty men together. Now, they knew how to fight by themselves, but they also knew how to fight as a group, a unified group with a mission. Can I hear an amen? It said, and they came together and they broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out before the Lord and said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. And these things the mighty men did. I can't imagine the type of offense that these guys would have had to resist. Can you imagine fighting through the military of the Philistine army, risking your life to get a cup of water, and you give it to the man and he does this. You're like, brother, I'm offended. Hear me. I want to talk to you today about how to learn to fight together. Because there's an aspect of your life that you're going to learn to fight by yourselves. Can I hear an amen? In order to be what God's called you to be, to do what God's called you to do, sometimes you're going to be on the battleground and it's going to look like it's just you, and you need to learn how to do that. But also, in order for you to do what God's called you to do, you're going to have to learn how to fight with others. And I don't mean against others, I mean with each other. Be able to fight and come together and be a unit for the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So I want to talk to you about how these men, who the Holy Spirit points out, knew how to be by themselves. But equally, they knew how to be with others. We don't have that in American church. American church, we like the Lone Ranger Christian. I don't need church. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Who said? Churchless Christians are practicing a version of Christianity that is not found in the Bible. Not found anywhere. Most of the New Testament was written to churches. And the ones that were addressed to people were pastors. Jesus' address in the book of Revelation wasn't to individuals, but was to the seven what? The seven churches. I'm not saying to you today that God doesn't deal with us in the New Testament age as an individual, because he does. But what I'm suggesting to you today is that the weight of Scripture is that God doesn't deal with you as an individual. He deals with you as a church. Why? It is the intention of God for you to be hooked up and learn how to fight as a group. The word church itself doesn't mean an individual. You are not the church. We are the church. Together. I am not the church by myself. I am only the church when I'm hooked to the other believers. Amen? I want to talk to you today about a couple principles about how to learn to fight with each other as a group, in Jesus' name. I got 2 points. Write them down, one and two. Two characteristics of godly groups that know how to fight and win and be unstoppable together. Number one, everybody say number one. You must be united. You must be united. You've got to determine in your heart, I'm not going to go this alone. We've got too many people that would rather, they think they're wrong. They think they can live this life and that God wants them to live this Christianity by themselves. I'm just going to be at home. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray and I'm going to do all this stuff by myself. And nowadays, oh, I'm just going to stream it in a church. No, that ain't the same, because you're not committed to that body of believers. I mean, if I really wanted to get controversial, there's a name for that I'm not going to go to and talk about it. But it's not a good one. Using somebody for your own pleasure without committing to it, there's a name for that. But we're going to keep it PG here. But we got too many in the body of Christ, that's exactly what they are. They're either out there on their own, or half-heartedly getting some things met by something they're not willing to commit to. And God's calling you to come together and commit. Can I hear an amen? Amen. To be together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 12 says, and if one can overpower him, one can overpower him who is alone, but two can resist him. Meaning you got one by yourself, you're going to lose. You get another one on your side, you're going to win. But then it says, but a threefold cord. A cord of three, not broken. We're better together. Somebody high five your neighbor, say we're better together. We're better together. And you've got to commit to this, because I'm going to tell you, one of the tactics of the enemy in order to defeat us is to get us apart. And we can be together for a while. I'm not talking about you together when we're in agreement, because that doesn't really say much. I'm talking about, can you be together when we don't agree? You got to learn to do that. You have to learn to commit, to say, I'm going to commit. I have some people, yeah, I want to teach a class in this church. I want to do this, that, and the other in this church. I'm like, are you willing to join the church? Well, I'm not going to join the church. I just want to do it. I'm not letting you teach something that you're not willing to join. If you're not willing to commit here, I'm not going to let you teach something. Why would I? I'd be dumb. That'd be dumb of me to do it. Did you hear me? I want people in leadership here who are willing to commit to the vision of Evangel North Church. Because we got to be together. God says we're stronger together. I'm better together. But in order to be that way, one of the things you're going to have to be willing to do is to learn to celebrate differences, not put things, people down for their differences. Meaning that to come together means that there are going to be people that are going to, they're going to be different from you. They're going to have different motivations. They're going to have different callings than you have. Now, in some places, in some churches, that's put down. You got to think like us. We have to have the exact same opinion on every single thing. That's not this church. This church, we celebrate our differences. They're not weaknesses. They help us. If all you do is gather around people who think like you and agree with you and are exactly like you, you're never going to get any better. You're going to stay right where you are. The times of growth I've had in my life is when I was willing to get around people who were different from me. Thought different, motivatedly different. Can I hear an amen? But we got to learn to stop putting each other's differences down and view them as weaknesses and start viewing them as strengths. Hey, listen, you're strong over there. I'm strong here. Let's put our strengths together and let's do something for God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. People come to this church. They'll come to this church and they'll see weaknesses in the church. Well, I'm glad you got that eye that you can see what we don't do right. Why? Because I'm not strong at everything. Why don't we have more fun things happen in the church? Because I'm not fun. Yes, my wife, I am not a fun guy. That's the plural form of fungus. You don't want me to plan your party. It won't be good. Now, maybe you're there and you're Mr. and Mrs. Bubbles. You love to have fun and you know how to help. Then guess what? We need your strength. But don't put me down for my weakness. Now you put me together and give me some, you know, we're going to put some Bible and some theology together and get some stuff that's really good. I'm your guy. But don't have me plan fun events because I'm not fun. Don't put me in charge of check requests. My administrative assistant's laughing on the second row, third row. Don't do it. Don't put me in administration like that. I'll mess you up. You better pray and fast because you're probably not getting it. Because that's not a strength. I've got strengths. You've got strengths. But what happens is we put down people because of their weaknesses. And we criticize them because of their weaknesses. Yeah, it's something you're strong at, but just because you're strong at don't mean everybody else is. Can I hear an amen? And what it is we've learned enough in this house to understand that some people are good at one thing, some people are good at another, and what the real secret sauce is everybody put their strengths together, and instead of putting each other's differences down, start celebrating it. And friends, I'm going to tell you, when you see a church do that, watch out, because they're about to reach a bunch of people for the kingdom of God. They're about to do something. I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures here, Romans, and I'm just going to read them here. I just want you to see something here. I want you to see these differences that God puts in the church. Romans 12:6 says, since we have gifts that differ. We have gifts that differ. You have things this church needs that we're not good at. Amen. We're not good at them. And what happens is we come in and we say, well, the thing that's my big motivation, I don't see happening here. So they go somewhere else and not realize that maybe God called you here because you have a gift that this house needs. Instead of being so critical about it, lend your strength to where we're weak. Can I hear an amen? Instead of criticizing and putting people down, there's certain things you gotta say, you know what? I notice there's a weakness there, but I'm strong in that area. I'm gonna find out a way to put my strength into that weak area. Can I hear an amen? He says, so we have these differences. He says, so then, according to the grace, each of us should exercise them accordingly. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:27. It says, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. The you there is you plural. Now, Eastern Kentucky folks have it right. Y'all. This is not you singular or the Christ body. It's you plural. Y'allins. Ewinses. Am I saying that right, Aaron? Thank you. It says God has appointed in the church different people. Apostolic people, people who see vision, who have vision, and that's their deal. They have great vision for the whole body. But then you'll have prophets. Then you'll have teachers. Some people who have gifts of miracles. Oh, these are all good things. But look at this other thing. Some people gifts of healing. Some people helps. Somebody say helps. As a pastor, I'm going to say help. I need help. I can't do this myself. I've got a great team of people, but can I tell you, we still need help. You know what's interesting to me is that the gift of helps, look at this next one, and administrations. That means there are people who are gifted in administration are put in the same level as a prophet or an apostle. That's why you have some churches that have some of the greatest preachers you've ever heard. And they never rise and do anything. You know why? Because they're missing some of these gifts. They don't got people there who have the anointing to help. Or the anointing to help administrate. Because there takes a lot of things to even put on a church service like us. Do you know all the different things that it takes just to put on a church service? People in the background. I know it looks like me up here a lot. But can I tell you, there are so many more people that are working to make this happen. Even for a church this size, it takes a lot of people that are willing to jump in the fight and say, I'm going to do my part. Can I hear an amen? I'm going to do my part. And so we see this list of people who've got different motivations. An apostle has a different motivation than a teacher. A teacher has a different motivation than an administrator. than a help person. But we need them all. Can I hear an amen? We need everybody walking in their strength, walking in their grace, getting in their place in the name of Jesus. We need that. Can I hear an amen? So how do you do that? How do you do it? Well, number one, you got it. I wrote here, tomato steak yourself. If you grew up in this area, you'll know I've been told this a lot. I have no idea if it's true. But I've been told, don't plant tomatoes until after the Derby. That means I guess you're free to do it now. But one of the things you got to do with tomatoes is you got a tomato steak. Anybody here grew tomatoes? You got to put steak in your ground. You got to tie to that tomato plant to that steak. And then you'll get really good tomatoes. So what you've done, you committed that piece of wood or metal or whatever it is that you've used as a stake, and you committed it to go right alongside and you've tied it to it. And here's what I'm going to say this to you today. You've got to commit yourself to a place that God's called you to and say, I'm committed. I'm committed. Can I hear an amen? You've got to commit yourself to staying unified. And number two, and again, I didn't get too much into this message or this point, but I want you to go ahead and stand all over the house today. I'll end on this point here. I wrote, you've got to be thick-skinned. Somebody say thick-skinned. I can't imagine the temptation for these three after they fought through the garrison of the Philistines to get this guy a cup of water. They came together, like I'm talking about. They came together, learned how to come together. They knew how to fight by themselves, but they also knew how to fight together and be unified as a group. You got to have both. Some of you are really good about standing alone, but do you know how to stand together? But then something else happened. When David poured that water out, the level of offense that could have been. You see, your unity is not unity until we disagree. People, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then the first time we disagree, they're out the door. That ain't unity. That ain't unity. That's not unity. David poured it out. They could have said, no, I'm out. But they didn't. They stayed with him. We get to the point in church that we are so easily offended. And it's out in the world too. Don't get it. It's not just in the church. I mean, in the world, I mean, you can't hardly do anything without somebody being offended at what you did or said or didn't say it right or whatever. But it's that way in the church. The least little bit thing happened, people mad, throwing their stuff, stomping off. I'm mad. I'm offended. I'm not talking about putting up with sinful, utterly abusive behavior. That's one thing. But just because somebody didn't say something just right, let me ask you a question. Do you say things right all the time? Do you ever have a toed? Let me help you with that. You do. We're willing to break company, get mad, stomp off, do our own thing. Do you know why? Immature Christian. Babies. 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 We got to stop doing that. I gave you a scripture out of the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:5. I did that. I gave that one because the way they break out the translation of don't be easy, love is not easily provoked. And the original language begins to point out it's not touchy. Somebody say touchy. Touchy. Don't like something. Get mad. When I was growing up, I talked to you about us being poor and not have a lot of money. We had two basketball courts. The housing complex thing. You know, I had a basketball goal and some asphalt. Wasn't really much, but we played basketball. Street kids don't have much to do. It's what we did. problem was, is most of us couldn't afford to have a basketball. So every now and again, my kid would get the basketball. He was king of the court. And we'd have to do everything they'd say, or they'd take their ball and go home, and then we couldn't play basketball no more. They were calling the shots. Had to do everything. Walk on eggshells around this person because they wouldn't even want to take their basketball home because now we can't play. But that's what people do in church. The Bible says don't be touchy. People get mad. Oh, they looked at me wrong. Did you see that twitch in their eye when they looked at me? There's something wrong with them. Get over that. Can I hear an amen? We'll never be together if we get so offended over every little thing. Now, I'm not talking about sinful, abusive behavior, but there's got to be a point in the church that we learn to say, you know what? I'm going to love that person even though I disagree with them. I'm going to stay committed to what God's called me to, even if I don't agree with everything going on in this place. Amen? You got to learn to be thick-skinned. I remember Pastor Wayman Rogers told me, he said, John, he said, if you're going to serve God, and he said, you will, he said, you're going to be a great pastor. He said, but you're going to have to learn how to have the heart of Jesus with the skin of an elephant. Or you're just not offended. Elephant skin's so thick, I think they say it'd be very difficult for a man to even get a knife through it. It's so thick. They just can handle it. You got to be that way, that you're not so easily offended. Somebody didn't say something just right, didn't look at you just right, didn't shake your hand, didn't have the right tone of voice. Come on, somebody. Maybe made a decision that you think is wrong. There's sometimes, listen, God's called me to serve Dr. Bob Rogers, but I don't agree with everything he does. I've served him for years and years and years. I don't agree with everything he does. But you know what happens? You wouldn't know about it. Because we get behind closed doors, I say my part, he says his. There is a healthy way to disagree with leadership. There is a healthy way to do it. Can I hear an amen? And I encourage you, sometimes you need to. You got a problem, you need to come talk to the leader. But you don't need to go talk to 10 other people. Hello? You go talk to them. You got a problem with my children's pastor? You don't need to talk to 10 people before you talk to them. You need to go talk to the children's pastor. You got a problem with me? Come talk to me. Now I know I get up here and I'm all, blah. But you talk to me, I'm a nice guy. I'll listen to you. I still may not agree with you, but I'm going to listen to you. You got a grievance against me? I'll hear you, and I'll be kind to you. But you don't need to go talk to 20,000 different people. You need to healthily approach it and then decide, I'm going to love you no matter what you decide. These people love David even though he poured their work out on the ground. And they decided, I'm not going to be offended. Do you have the elements of communion? I want you to get those out if you would. I did this at the end for a reason. You can peel the thinner piece of plastic to get the bread and hold that, and then the thicker piece for the juice. I did that for a reason. I'm talking about being together. Communion is one of the things that the church all across the world does. Now, they do it in different forms. It looks different in some places. Some people have different beliefs about it. But every church that I'm aware of does communion in some way at some time. And it's a very unifying act. In fact, yesterday I watched the coronation, I think is how it's said, of King Charles III, and I was up watching the first hour and a half or so was in the church service, and they took communion, they anointed him with oil, and I thought, that's stuff we do all the time. While we have some differences, we have some differences in beliefs, we have some differences in maybe practice, this is a unifying act where we receive the bread together, we receive the cup together. And I want to pray that God would help us to learn. Yes, you're going to have to learn to fight by yourself. You're going to have to learn to sometimes get in that prayer closet and go to war in Jesus' name. But But you're also going to have to learn to get together with others and to say, I'm going to put my strength where they're weak. And I'm going to begin to help that thing go in Jesus' name. And you make a decision to do it, and you're going to have to also make a decision, I'm not going to get offended. I refuse to be offended. I'm not going to be. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Amen? Hold the elements up. Father, today, I thank you, God, for what this represents. The death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Train us how to fight alone. That's good. Train us how to fight together. That's awesome. God, help us. God, where we've been offended, heal that offense. God, where we've been scared of joining and being a part, God, help us to get over that. God, I pray not just as a church body, but even in our families, in our relationships, help us to come together. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. And everybody said, you may receive the bread. Now the cup. How many are glad you came to church today? Can you give the Lord a great big hand of praise? Hopefully God ministered to you in a powerful way. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Apostle Sunday, Sin Yangwe is going to be here. It's going to be an awesome time. Great dinner afterwards. Let's go out with a shout of victory. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God.
Become a kingdom building partner today online at johncarmichael.net. With your prayer and financial gift each month, we are seeing miracles, restorations in families and salvations, and you can be a part of that. Consider becoming a Kingdom Building Partner today online. Kingdom Now is the media outreach of John Carmichael Ministries USA. All gifts to the ministry are tax deductible where applicable, minus the fair market value of any gifts received. For more information, visit www.johncarmichael.net.